All right, if everybody's set and ready to go this morning, we will go to the book of John, the Gospel of John, in chapter 14. And if I'd have done what she just did, you'd have to take me to the emergency room. All right, so we're going to continue in a series of messages that we started last week on the ministry of Jesus Christ. What was he teaching? Who was he teaching? What's it all about? And we're going to continue that today, the ministry of Jesus, part two. And our focus is going to be today, did Jesus teach about the rapture of the church, the body of Christ? That's what we're going to look at. And so we're going to show a lot of verses, and I know that doesn't shock you or surprise you because that's what we do, but we're going to show them. Quoting verses in the Bible is good, but the powerful thing is for people to see them. And so I think you need to take them there as often as you can for them to see it for themselves, that it's written, it's God's Word. Because some people are not at the same level of knowledge and understanding. So we may quote a verse and they may not know exactly what that verse is and its context. So when you can take them to the verses, I think that's powerful. But here in John chapter 14, we're going to pray, and then we're going to go there, and we're going to teach here from John chapter 14 is going to be our starter chapter and verse. Father, we're so grateful for another day of life, another day of your grace, another day of your long suffering. We're so thankful to be able to come together in fellowship over your word, to teach, to learn, to grow in knowledge of the truth, and that we may help others also, Lord, for that lost soul out there that's never believed the gospel of their salvation, how that Christ died for their sins, was buried, and rose again the third day for their justification. If they would believe that gospel and trust Jesus Christ and Him alone, by faith they could be saved. We pray that today, that someone would hear that message and by faith receive Him. We thank you, Lord, for all that we have learned and what we have seen in your word and all that we are in Jesus Christ. We give you the praise, the honor, and the glory. And everyone did say, amen. So, we're going to take a simple approach to the scripture here. The only way, I'll say this up front, the only way that you could ever believe that Jesus Christ taught the rapture of the church is because you heard some preacher say it, some teacher, some pastor, whatever he be. You can't find it in the scripture. Jesus is no way, and in no way, teaching the rapture in John chapter 14. Okay? Here's a simple way to see it. The body of Christ is not in John. Okay, it's not. There's a separation between Jew and Gentile in John, remember? And the body of Christ is not of Jew or Gentile. We're all one, right? All right, so look here in John chapter 14. Now, we'll say that this verse and verses have brought a lot of comfort to a lot of people. So there's a spiritual application, okay? But you got to be careful with that because many people don't know the difference between doctrine and spiritual application. They just believe they're here in the book of John. And they weren't, and they're not. Jesus is speaking to who? The Jews, right? Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. For in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And whither I go, you know, and the way you know. And Thomas said unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest. How can we know the way? And Jesus said unto him, I am the way, I am the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So that sounds pretty good so far, right? Here we've got Jesus saying, I'm going to come back again, and I'm going to receive you unto myself. There's many mansions in my Father's house, many dwelling places. And that sounds like heaven to me. And that sounds like the rapture. Jesus is going to come back and he's going to receive us unto himself. But what is Jesus really speaking of? Well, he's not speaking of the rapture. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Look at verse 51. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed. If Paul is showing the mystery, was Jesus teaching the mystery? It wouldn't have been a mystery. If Jesus had revealed it in the four Gospels, it would now have been what? Knowledge, right? So it wouldn't be a mystery. Look at 52. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised first incorruptible, raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. All right? So Paul says that this is a mystery. And then in 1 Thessalonians, he says he wouldn't have them be ignorant to those who sleep, right? And he goes on and he begins to talk about Jesus Christ stepping out on a cloud and receiving people up to him in the air. Is that what Jesus is speaking? Is that what he's teaching? So I want to show you something, and I think if you see this with me through the scripture, the way we're going to teach it, the way we're going to handle it, I think you can just erase all confusion. All right? What you're going to notice in the Word of God, and it just takes study to see this, it's not hard. It takes study to see it. When you do see it, I don't think you can ever unsee it, right? All right, so I'll explain all that to you here in just a second. First off, I want you to understand that Jesus Christ spent a lot of time up on a mount called the Mount of Olives. Go with me to the book of Luke in chapter 19. And look down at verse 29. And it came to pass, when he was come nigh to Bethphage and Bethany, at the mount called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples. Look at verse 37. And when he was come nigh, even now, at the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice of all the mighty works that they had seen. Look over at Luke 21, chapter 21. And at a day and time he was teaching in the temple. And at night he went out and abode in the mount that is called the Mount of Olives. Look at chapter 22. Look at verse 39. He came out and he went as he was wont to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples also followed him. Okay, you see that? All right, so this Mount of Olives here, Jesus does a lot of teaching to his disciples from that mount. When he's given the Olivet Discourse, which is the end of the world, he's doing it from where? The Mount of Olives. You with me? All right. So this Mount of Olives means something here. It's not by coincidence that we see that over and over in these passages in the Gospels. So Jesus says, I go away, I'll prepare a place for you. I'll come again, receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Well, that absolutely has to be the church, the body of Christ. No. Remember, in your Bible, we have what? Two programs? We have a heavenly program, right? And we have an earthly program. So when you follow the Scripture, you're going to see that Jesus was not referring to the rapture, people losing gravity and going up into the air, but what you're going to find out is Jesus preaching his return to earth and gathering Israel into an earthly kingdom. It has nothing to do with the rapture. That's what you're going to see simply. You're going to watch the Word of God. Go with me to the book of Acts. Chapter 1. This is where I said, and I didn't say that to be mean, that A lot of people get in bad doctrine because they're just lazy. They don't want to read the Bible and study the Bible for themselves. Okay? So I want to show you something here in Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1, starting at verse 6. We're going to come back to the Mount of Olives here later on. Randy, don't let me forget. Okay? He's bad for that. He's supposed to keep me straight, and he just don't do it. When Jesus leaves earth and he goes up to heaven away from the apostles, where do you think he left from? Oh, I'll tell you right now by the Word of God where he left from. He left from the Mount of Olives. Watch the verses. Start at verse 6. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, without this time, restore again the kingdom to Israel. What's their concern? The earthly kingdom to Israel. And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. But you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner, as you have seen him go into heaven. Now watch. Then returned they unto Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem a Sabbath day's journey. So where were they at? Mount of Olives. So Jesus Christ was called up to heaven from the Mount of Olives. Okay? He does his teachings, a lot of his teachings from the Mount of Olives with Israel. Okay? With the little flock there. Can you see that? All right. Go with me back to the book of Matthew. And I'm hoping I can tie all this together for you so you can see it clearly through Scripture. All right, I said we were going to come back to the one there, the Mount of Olives, same mount, just we're showing different parts here as it comes together. Look at Matthew chapter 24. Look at verse 1. And Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him for to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said unto them, See ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another stone that shall not be thrown down. And as he sat up on the Mount of Olives, his disciples came unto him privately, saying, Tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming of the end of the world? Okay? So Jesus now is at the Mount of Olives here with them, and he is going to give them what? Things that must come, right? He is going to give them prophecy of end times. Can I tell you, man's wisdom will not hold up to God's wisdom? There ain't a preacher alive with blood going through his veins that can make this the rapture in the Word of God. Because you know what Jesus is telling you? Not us. He's telling Israel. Before I can come back, there has to be 7 years of tribulation and great tribulation upon the earth. At the very end of that great tribulation, I'm going to return. Where's he going to return to, folks? The Mount of Olives. Is that the rapture? Jesus doesn't return to earth in the rapture. He steps out on the cloud. And they got all type of excuses for that. All right, so here's the Mount of Olives. When I say this to you by Scripture as well, when Jesus returns, it's not for a Sunday picnic. All right? It's not in grace and peace, but it's in judgment and war. Okay? You need to understand these things. So what they do, the preachers who go to John 14 to tell you that's the rapture, they jump over all the teachings that Jesus Christ has done from here to here to here, and then over here, they jump over all that and say it's the rapture. But yet, the rapture is going to happen before the tribulation. Jesus is not talking about anybody in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John escaping tribulation. Okay? And Jesus is not saying, I'm going to come back to the earth before the tribulation. Jesus is saying, no, after the tribulation I'm coming back to the earth. Now we know what? According to the Apostle Paul, before the 7 years, the church, the body of Christ, is going to be called out. That's the rapture. That's the mystery. Why is it a mystery? Because the body of Christ was a mystery. Okay? No prophecy, no prophet saw you and I today in the church, the body of Christ. Saul of Tarsus was never prophesied to be an apostle of the Gentiles and a dispensation of the grace of God. That information was never known by any prophet. It was all given to Paul. So when Paul says, I show you a mystery, folks, it's a mystery. Okay? It's a mystery that the church of body of Christ is going to be called out. These folks are not looking to go up into the air. And we're going to show that through the Bible, through what Jesus Christ taught them. I want you to look in chapter 24 of Matthew again and look at verse 14.
Can I ask you a quick question?
Sure.
Look at verse 2 there, where it says, there shall not be left here one stone upon another. That was 70 AD, right?
That's going to be Daniel 2 and 44, where all the kingdoms of the earth are destroyed by his kingdom.
Okay, hold on a second.
Okay. There'll be no end. 2 and 44. He'll put an end to the kingdoms of this earth.
Okay.
Okay. Sunday school records are going to burn up.
Church
tithing, all that stuff's going to burn up. Okay. All the business of the world's going to burn up, right?
Okay, thank you.
And he's going to usher in his own kingdom. And it's going to be a righteous kingdom. And he's going to rule in that kingdom with a rod of iron, with the 12 tribes of Israel. All right? So look over at verse 14. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached unto all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. See that? In Colossians, I want to show you that, even though it's not on my notes, I want you to see this in Colossians so that you can see the distinction. Go to Colossians in chapter 1. Jesus said, when that gospel of the kingdom is preached to all the world, then the end shall come. What's this in Colossians chapter 1, verse 23? Colossians 1, 23. If you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which you have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, wherefore I, Paul, am made a minister. Did the end come? It's a different gospel. See? Jesus is speaking of the gospel of the kingdom. Paul is speaking what Christ gave him was the gospel of the grace of God. Paul's gospel at that time had already been preached to every creature. Does it not say that? And the end didn't come. Over here, Christ says, when the gospel of the kingdom is preached to all the world, then the end shall come. You say, okay, then when is Christ coming back? Don't confuse yourself. Just look at the verses. Look at verse 29. Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. So when is he coming? After the tribulation to Israel. That's the earth, folks. When is he coming for us? Before the tribulation begins.
So there can't be no signs today of the tribulation.
There's not a sign of the time because it's not time for the signs. Right? Absolutely. It's just the way it is, folks. We need to be saved by the grace of God, looking for our blessed hope and our Savior and our great God and His appearing to come and get us, right? I had a guy to come on my Facebook page back... Actually, it might have been this Facebook page I had to ban him. Called me stupid. He said, hey, stupid, how many times is Jesus coming back? Well, if you're watching, stupid, he's coming back on the cloud to get us, and he's coming back to earth to Israel. Now, I hate to say that, but that's just what some people do to you, right? So you have to ban them. You don't want to ban people from the gospel. Sometimes you just have to, you have to shun some people. So he got all this stuff in his mind. He's going to go through the tribulation. He got all this stuff in mind. And God's going to pour out his wrath up on the church. Folks, the church is not in prophecy. Tribulation is all through prophecy. Okay, the church is a mystery held in God and revealed to Paul. Okay? All right? So Jesus does this speaking here. And when he's speaking here, what is he speaking of? In Olivet Discourse here, he's speaking of the end times. He's talking about all the things that are to come to Israel through the tribulation period. What we understand, if we go to Acts chapter 2, that in the mind of the apostles there, that this is exactly what they thought was happening. Look down at verse 16, chapter 2. This shows you how they were clueless of Paul and Paul's ministry and the mystery of God. This shows you how clueless. They had no clue. What they knew was prophecy. What had been spoken by the mouth of all the holy prophets. Watch what he says in verse 16. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. Okay, Joel 2. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God. The last days. When did Jesus say the last days were? Right over here. The 7 years out, the last days, right? That gospel of the kingdom be preached to all the world, then the end shall come. So what is Peter doing? He's preaching the gospel of the kingdom. And what is he looking for? He's looking for the end to come. Okay? Now people say, well, the last days started at Pentecost and they've been ongoing and ongoing. My hind leg. The last days were to last about 7 or so years, and then Jesus would return back over here and give that covenant and that salvation to Israel in that kingdom. 2,000 years later, we're still talking about the last days. Yeah, like God can't count. Look, but this is that which is spoken by the prophet Joel, and it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. What were they doing in Acts chapter 2? He poured it up on their flesh, didn't they? They began to speak in unknown languages, right? And others that heard them could hear the wonderful words and works of God. Could they not? Watch what he says. And he shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. You don't know how many people are still stuck in that. Yeah. They have a dream, yeah. Right? Yeah. And then they're going to live off that dream until God gives them the code for it. You just ate bad pizza, man. Face it. 18, and all my servants and all my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and notable day of the Lord. The day of the Lord is right over here, folks. He said it to you. It's right over here. And I'm going to show it to you through Scripture. What is Jesus teaching them back here? The same thing that Peter is preaching to them right there. And he's begging them, he's pleading with them to repent and be converted. Look at chapter 3. There is a whole different salvation message for the nation Israel. Okay? Watch verse 19, 3 and 19 of Acts. Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. Right over here in the kingdom, folks. After Jesus comes back, does what he's going to do with the nations over here, makes war and judgment here. Over here, Israel, at the coming of the Lord, received their new covenant. They go into that new covenant. They go into that kingdom. God's going to give them the spirit of Him, put it in them, cause them to walk in His laws and His judgments, right? They're going to have peace and safety. They're going to have it throughout all eternity at that point, because when His kingdom begins, it will never end. Even after the 1,000 years, they will still have their peace and love of God and with God always, right? Can you see that? All right, that's what Jesus is speaking of, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. John 14 is Jesus coming back over here that where he is, they may be with him also. Right? He's telling them to, hey, let not your heart be troubled. You got a fire to go through, but I'm coming back. Okay, just as I promised, I'm coming back. All right, now watch this. Jesus will return to the Mount of Olives. Go with me to the book of Zechariah. All it takes to be wrong and to get into error is don't rightly divide the word of truth and just believe that when you got saved, God made you a part of a nation instead of part of a body. And what you'll do is you'll end up thinking that John 14 is your information. I'm not telling you there's not spiritual application. There's spiritual application in every book in the Bible, folks. But you better learn your doctrine. Right? Why do men sit and argue about pre-trib, mid-trib, or post-trib? Because they don't rightly divide the word of truth. If you rightly divide the word of truth, you would see that the dispensation of the grace of God ends with the rapture. Okay? Look at chapter 14 of Zechariah. Zechariah 14, starting in verse 1. Behold, the day of the Lord cometh, thy spoil shall be divided in the midst of thee. For I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle. And the city shall be taken, and the houses rifled, and the women ravished, and half of the city shall go forth into captivity, and the residue of the people shall not be cut off from the city. Then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations, as when he fought in the day of battle. And his feet shall stand in the day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east. And the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof toward the east and toward the west. And there shall be a very great valley, and half of the mountain shall remove to the toward the north, and the other half to the south. I bet it's just coincidence that Jesus did a ton of teaching back here on the Mount of Olives, that he did the Olivet Discourse from here, that he left from the Mount of Olives here in Acts chapter 1, and all of a sudden he's going to return over here to the Mount. I bet that's just coincidence. No, I believe that's exactly the way he laid it out. Right? And that's the prophecy. You see that? All right, go with me to Zechariah 14, 9 and 10. Now, here we go, folks. What's Jesus telling these disciples in John 14? Here you go, watch. 14 and 9. And the Lord shall be king over all the earth. In that day shall there be one Lord, and his name one. And the land shall be turned as a plain from Geba to Rimmon, south of Jerusalem, and it shall be lifted up and inhabited in her place from Benjamin's gate unto the place of the first gate unto the corner gate, and from the tower of Hananel unto the king's wine presses. We're talking about earth, aren't we?
Yep.
He's going to be king over the earth.
Yep. Hey, that turn king is going to turn as a plain.
That means he's going to flatten those mountains.
Verse 10.
And land shall be turned as a plain.
You know, like a plain's flat, right?
I'm not. Hold on a second.
Verse 10 there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. There again.
It'll be flat.
You see, you saw in the very verse that we read earlier how the mountain's going to cleave, right? All right, but no, he's going to establish his throne in a mount, but all the others. And it going back, his
Jerusalem.
That's exactly right. The city up on the hill and so forth.
Okay. Yeah.
All right. So then, go with me now. If you've seen that there in the teachings of Zechariah, Jesus Christ, folks. If you're going to get listen to me closely, if you don't ever hear anything else I ever say, and some of you may not, you may have already turned me off. But listen to me. If you're going to get your doctrine out of these books, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and you're going to be honest about it, the next thing you're looking for is not Jesus to appear in the air. You're looking for the tribulation. You can't get out of that. That's exactly what Jesus Christ taught. Jesus is not teaching anybody here that they're going to go up and escape tribulation. What Jesus is telling that nation, you're going through tribulation. Okay? And the trial is coming up on the earth to try them, right? Fire, pillar of smoke, all that business, that's all prophecy. So if you want to go in here and let some preacher, teacher, pastor continue to lie to you and take out all the sweet spots of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John and give you that like candy and tickle your ear about the good stuff, and you're going to think you're going to find the rapture in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you're being lied to. And you better study the Bible for yourself, because Jesus Christ is plainly telling them about the future woes of the 7 years of the 70th week of Daniel. Absolutely. They're going to have to go through the fire first. When you read James, that's what he's telling you. You read Peter, that's what he's telling you. You read the Hebrew epistles, that's what their Hebrew epistles about the coming woes. 1 John, 2 John, 3 John, about the tribulation. Revelation, about the tribulation, and then the return of Christ. That's not what Paul teaches us at all. Jesus Christ in no way was teaching Israel about a rapture. He was teaching them about going through the trouble to get over to the kingdom, right? At his return. All right, so you see that. He teaches that too, that the tribulation must come first. Look at Luke chapter 19 with me real quick. I think I can finish this up in about 15 more minutes. That'll give y'all something to look forward to. Luke chapter 19. How many times have you heard this verse used on you? Luke 19 and 10. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Okay, now you got that? Look over at Ezekiel 34. Ezekiel 34. See, even some grace teachers, they want you to settle down into those things in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. See, I'm so afraid of that. What I want you to do is get the understanding of what is so different between the prophecy program and the mystery program. And then when you grow to the point that you can go back and make a good spiritual application without making yourself Israel, without making yourself part of the law, then amen, do that. But see, most people just aren't there yet, okay? And we're still new, in essence, to teaching this about 5 years or so. So you have to be careful. And that's why I want you to stay out of believing those things are talked and spoken to you, because Jesus Christ said clearly in His earthly ministry that He came only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And He was speaking to the Jews and about their salvation. All right? So look with me here to Ezekiel chapter 34. And look down at verse 11. For thus saith the Lord God, behold, I will both search my sheep and seek them out, as a shepherd seeketh out his flock in the day that he is among his sheep that are scattered, so will I seek out my sheep, and I will deliver them out of all the places where they have been scattered in the cloudy and dark day. When is that? It's over there. Okay. And I will bring them out from the people and gather them from the countries. And I will bring them to their own land and feed them upon the mountains of Israel by the rivers and all the inhabited places of the country. I will feed them in a good pasture, and upon the high mountains of Israel shall their fold be. There shall they lie in good fold. In the fat pasture shall they feed upon the mountains of Israel. I will feed my flock, and I will cause them to lie down, saith the Lord God. I will seek them which was lost. What did Luke 19 say? Come to seek and to save that which was lost. He's dealing with Israel, folks. And bring again that which was driven away. And I will bind up on that which was broken, and will strengthen that which was sick. But I will destroy the fat and the strong. I will feed them with judgment. Okay? All right, look over at Ezekiel 36. Israel, throughout time, folks, you got this land here that was given to Israel. Okay? It's the land covenant. Given to who? And Abraham, right? So he makes a promise that through this land covenant, all the way until you get to the kingdom over here, this is the land that's in the earth. That's not up in the clouds. That's in the earth. Okay? We know that because he uses the word earth and earth over and over and over again. All right, so there's this land promise to Israel. There is a kingdom in the earth to Israel that's been promised to them. It's been prophesied by the mouth of all the holy prophets since the world began. What is Israel looking for? They're looking for that salvation, folks. I'm gonna get there, but let's go here to Ezekiel 36 first. 36 and 24. Now watch this, because they've been scattered. Back here, they started going out and whoring to other nations and other gods, and they got all scattered. They got scattered some more over here in Acts chapter 8, when the Apostle Paul scattered them, Saul then, right? So they've been scattered. And like I said, they're the only people in the Bible that can be scattered, because the only people in the Bible with a hope and a promise of land, right? Everybody else just lives where they live. We've already talked about it. Look here at verse 24. For I will take you from among the heathen, and gather you out of all countries, and I will bring you into your own what?
Land.
What's their salvation hope? Right? To be put in that land over there. All right? Now, then will I sprinkle clean water upon you. And there's your form of baptism. That's sprinkling, right? You with me? And you shall be clean from all your filthiness, and from all your idols will I cleanse you. A new heart also will I give you. And a new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. There's a circumcision of the heart for Israel. Okay? And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you shall keep my judgments and do them. And you shall dwell in the
land.
Are they looking to go up to heaven?
No,
they're going to dwell in the land. And I gave to your fathers. Now, what is Jesus talking about in John 14? I go away and prepare a place for you. I come again and receive you unto myself. Where is he going to receive them? In the land. Over there in the kingdom. You with me? All right. Pastor, preacher, teacher of another denomination tells you that that's the rapture in John 14. What do you know better? Jesus ain't speaking to rapture. He's speaking his return to earth to gather them to be with him in that kingdom. Receive them unto himself, that where he is, they may be also. You with me? That ain't hard. Okay? The only way you would ever believe a rapture in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John is some preacher lied to you, and you allowed it by not studying your Bible. Okay? Because it just ain't there.
Israel's going to be born again to go into
that. Absolutely. They're a new covenant. And you shall dwell in the land that I gave your fathers, and you shall be my people, and I will be your God. I will also save you from all your uncleanness, and I will call for the corn, and will increase it, and lay no famine upon you. Look at verses 32 and 33. Now watch. He says, this is not for your sake. Watch what he says. Not for your sakes do I this, saith the Lord God. Be it known to you, be ashamed and confounded for your own ways, O house of
Israel.
Thus saith the Lord God, in the day that I shall have cleansed you from all your iniquities. When is that? Peter says it was from what? The presence of the Lord, right? What does the new covenant say? At that time, he's going to forgive them all their sins, right? Blot it all out. I will also cause you to dwell in the cities, and the way shall be builded. You see that? All right, look over at verses 36 through 38. Then the heathen that are left round about you shall know that I, the Lord, build the ruined places and plant that which was desolate. I, the Lord, have spoken it. I will do it. Thus saith the Lord God. I will yet for this be inquired of by the house of to do it for them. I will increase them with men like a flock, as the holy flock, as the flock of Jerusalem in her solemn feast. So shall the waste cities be filled with flocks of men, and they shall know that I am the Lord. Who is that about, folks? Don't lie to yourself and put yourself there. That's Israel. All right, go to Isaiah. Isaiah, look at 33. Look at verse 20. Look upon Zion, the city of our Solomites. Thine eyes shall be shall see Jerusalem as a quiet habitation, a tabernacle that shall not be taken down. Not one of the stakes thereof shall ever be removed, neither shall any of the cords therefore be broken. But there the glorious Lord will be unto us a place of broad rivers and streams, wherein shall go no galley with oars, neither shall gallant ship pass thereby. For the Lord is our judge, the Lord is our lawgiver, the Lord is our king, he will save us. Thy tacklings are loosed, they could not well strengthen their mast, they could not spread the sail. Then is the prey of a great spoil divided, the lame take the prey. What's this? An inhabitant shall not say, I am sick. The people that dwell therein shall be forgiven their iniquity. So all the lame, all the halty coming into this kingdom will be made whole. What was Jesus doing? What did he say when he healed people? Yeah. Thy faith has made thee whole. Yeah. Right? Yeah. What was that a picture of? The coming kingdom. When they would say, no more I am sick, they would be made whole. Right? They're not going up, folks. They're going in into their land to possess it as it's been promised to them. Can you see that? All right, pop up to Jeremiah. And I've heard this one preached to the body of Christ. Boy, there's a lot of good evangelistic messages, just not good doctrine, right? If people just study their Bibles, they'd get out and walk out of those places in about 10 minutes. 23:1. Woe be unto the pastors that destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, saith the Lord. Therefore saith the Lord God of Israel, against the pastors that feed my people, you have scattered my flock and driven them away, and have not visited them. Behold, I will visit upon you the evil of your doing, saith the Lord. And I will gather the remnant of my flock out of all countries, whither I have driven them, and I will bring them again to their folds, and they shall be fruitful and increase. And I will set up shepherds over them. That's what a pastor thinks he is today. He's the shepherd of your soul. No, you're not. Them which shall feed them, and they shall fear no more, or be dismayed. Neither shall they be lacking, saith the Lord. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will raise unto David a righteous branch, and a king shall reign and prosper, and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth. Who is that man? Jesus Christ, right? Amen? You see that? All right. What salvation were they looking for? Luke chapter 1. Through the verses that we've read, starting with John 14, did anybody read Jesus Christ stepping out on the cloud, calling people up to himself? Anybody read that? Anybody read that their promise was the heavenlies? Their promise was over here. You with me? All right. So look here at Luke chapter 1. And we're going to see their salvation, what it is they were looking for. Look at verse 69. And have raised up an horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant, what? David. As he spake by the mouth of all his holy prophets, which have been since the world began. What was Paul preaching? That which had been kept secret since the world began. Romans 16:25, Ephesians 3:1-10, Colossians 1:25-27. You can't doubt the Word of God, believe it. All right? That we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all that hate us, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers and to remember His holy covenant, the oath which He sware to our father Abraham, that would grant unto us that we, being delivered out of the hand of our enemies, might serve Him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before Him all the days of our life. Right over here. That's what they were looking for. That is their safety. That is their grace. That is their peace. That's their salvation, folks. It's yet to come. You have it now. Okay? You have the atonement right now. Israel will be going through this time of Jacob's trouble to endure to the end, to make it out to here to Christ's second coming, right? When he comes, he's going to make war with the nations. Revelation 19. All right, verse 11. And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he does judge and make war. That's total opposite of grace and peace in which we live right now. Okay? So, folks, all these people who love a good action movie, all these people like a real gory movie with a lot of bloodshed, with a lot of stuff going on. If you get left behind, if you miss this rapture, you're going to be a part of that movie. You're going to be a part of the cast. You're going to face hell on earth. Right? And don't tell me you're tough enough to make it. There's going to be many to sell out. They're going to sell out to the beast. They're going to take the mark so they can buy, so they can sell. Absolutely. They're going to be like the five unwise over there in Matthew. Right? They're going to give in. Okay? And you're going to find out if you go read the book of Daniel chapter 3 what the ones who don't give in, there's going to be a picture of what the ones who don't give in, what's going to happen to them. What happened to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego when they didn't bow? They were thrown into the fire, right? And he looked over and said, I see three, but I also see one that looks like the Son of Man, right? And that was the fourth one in the fire. Right? He's going to be with the remnant. He's going to be with the little flock through that seven-year tribulation. He is going to put them in a world protection there. Okay? He's going to see that they get fed. He's going to see that they get taken care of. But I'm telling you right now, folks, what has been on earth, and even Jesus Christ himself, has never had been. Unless these days be shortened, no flesh would be saved out of it. But for the elect's sake, he shortened those days. Okay? So I'm telling you now, if you're going to go to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John and say, well, that's my doctrine, okay, then don't you throw away the tribulation because it's yours. You can't take the sweet stuff in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John and throw away the bitter stuff. That's what bothers me when people take the books and they put the body of Christ in them. There's no body of Christ in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. It's a nation. Okay? The body of Christ started with the Apostle Paul, and that's why we're mid-Acts dispensational Bible teachers. Okay? Because it started with Paul. Jesus is not teaching the rapture. He's teaching an earthly return. Okay? You with me? Did you see what I saw? Was that simple Bible study? Did that clear it up for you? So when you get the famous guy out of Texas telling you all about how John 14, or around here, is about the rapture of the church, you can look at him and flip the channel and go watch Gilligan's Island or something, you'd be better off. Because he don't know what he's talking about. And I'm sorry, he doesn't. He doesn't. It doesn't mean that we know everything, but we know better than to know that the body of Christ is not in a book where you still have a separation between Jew and Gentile. Okay? Can't be. Argue, fight, call us stupid, whatever you want to call us. We just showed you the verses. All right? All right, with all that being said, if we want to turn off the recording devices, if anybody has questions, we'll answer those before we leave today. All right? Get Kim to do her limbo, and she's done throwing her back out this time. All right. That's why whenever you question all them nominations,